Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the Believer's Authority was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Angels were created to minister to us, saints. They are like servants to us. They are God's messengers. And Lucifer was in the Garden of Eden to serve and to wait upon man, not as this demonic force. God did not turn some evil demonic force loose on Adam and Eve just to see if they could withstand. I believe that that's significant. And that's the reason that Lucifer had to speak through an animal and had to just challenge the Word of God and deceive Adam and Eve. He couldn't force them into doing anything because all of his power was to minister for them, not against them. He couldn't take that power. Also, did you turn over to Revelation chapter 12 and look at this verse. In Revelation chapter 12, and it's talking about the devil, and it's using a metaphor here, a symbolism, and it says in verse 3 that there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Anyway, it talks about this woman who brought forth a child, and the dragon chased him and tried to devour him, and the earth opened up. In verse 7 it says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. And he was cast out unto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And it says somewhere here in this same context that his tail drew 1/3 of the stars and cast them to the earth. And anyway, my point is that this is where people get that Satan rebelled with 1/3 of the angels against God. And they get it from this passage of Scripture. Now, in the first place, this is symbolism. And even though you don't ignore symbolism, you need to take it as symbolism, and you need to be careful how you interpret it. Plus, it's the only place in Scripture that I'm aware of that it mentions anything about 1/3 of the stars, and it's using it in a symbolic form. I'm not sure that this is saying that Satan got 1/3 of the angels to rebel with him. But let's just assume that it does mean that. I can tell you that even if Satan had 1/3 of the angels and God had 2/3 of the angels, it would still be stupid to charge God and try and overthrow his kingdom while he retains 2/3 of his angels. If Satan had 100% of the angels, he couldn't have overcome God. This whole concept that Satan just rebelled at God and made a frontal attack against God and tried to overthrow the kingdom of God, I can't understand why people would think that. That doesn't make sense. I wouldn't charge God with 1/3 of the angels. I believe Satan is stupid, but not dumb, or however you say that. I believe he's smarter than that. You know what I believe happened? If you were to try and overcome somebody with a superior power, like say for instance, if you're a bank robber and if you go into the bank and all you got is one little gun, and you've got bank guards in there, and you've got all of this security, and you've got overwhelming force against you, you know what you could do? You go in and take a hostage, and you put that gun to their head, and you say, if you shoot me, I kill this hostage. And even though they have superior power, they won't use it because they don't want to damage the hostage. You know what happened with Satan? God gave mankind an unconditional authority. In Genesis chapter 1, let me read this to you. In Genesis chapter 1, when God created man, it says in verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That's the devil. He is a creep. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God, twice here in verse 26 and 28, he says, you have dominion. You rule. You subdue. He gave authority over this earth to people that have physical human bodies. Satan doesn't have a physical body. God doesn't have a physical body or didn't have a physical body. God was a spirit. John 4:24, Jesus revealed, God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God himself didn't have a physical body. He gave dominion over this earth to people with physical bodies. Satan didn't have a physical body. He was an angelic being, a ministering spirit sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation. He did not have any power on this earth. Only physical bodies, people with physical bodies, have power on this earth. He gave us this power, and it was an unconditional power. He didn't say, now as long as you do what I tell you to do, then you can rule, then you can reign, then you can have dominion and subdue. No, he didn't put any qualifications on it. And I believe that when Satan saw this, he finally saw his opportunity to come at God. Because God gave authority to human beings, to physical bodies. And if Satan could get us to yield to him, Romans 6:16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, his servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Even though that verse wasn't written yet, it was part of God. It was the truth. It was his nature. It was the way he was. Satan knew this. And Satan knew that if he could get Adam and Eve to willfully yield to him, then they would give him the authority over this earth. Satan wasn't the god of this world prior to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were the gods of this world. It even says that in Psalms chapter 82 in verse 6. Jesus quoted this in the New Testament. And in Psalms 82, 6, it says, are ye not, or Jesus quoted it and says, doesn't the scripture say that ye are all gods? I have said ye are gods and all of you are children of the Most High. Jesus quoted that verse and God was talking about us. We weren't capital G gods in the sense that we were divine or divinity, but we were in absolute control. Psalms 115 verse 16 says, the heavens, even the heaven of the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given unto the sons of men. God gave the earth, the control of the earth, to people. Now he had ownership of them. The earth is the Lord's, it says in Psalm chapter 19. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, they and all them that dwell therein. God owned the earth. It belonged to him, but he gave control, management of it to physical human beings. And he never intended for us to turn it over to the devil. But now here's a truth that escapes most people today. But you've got to understand this if you're going to understand God. Psalms 89 verse 34 says, my covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that has gone forth out of my lips. When God says something, it's a contract. It's binding. He will never violate it. Heaven and earth depend on it. It says in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 that Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power. If God was to ever break his word, the universe would self-destruct. This world would fall apart. It is held together by the integrity of God's word. He spoke the worlds into existence. And if he ever lied, if he ever violated his word, the world would self-destruct. God cannot lie. God cannot break his word. So when he says, you have dominion, you rule, he never intended for us to give it to the devil, but he would have been unjust to come down and say, this is not what I want. I'm changing it. I take it back. I'm going to fix things. I'll run this. That would have been unjust. The world would have self-destructed. God couldn't do that. And so this is why he allowed things to go on. You know, it just infuriates me the way that people blame God for everything and say, why did God cause this baby to be born with Down syndrome? Why did God let this person die? People just assume that when a person dies, their number must have been up. I mean, God must control that. The Bible says very clearly in Hebrews chapter 2 that Jesus came to destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Satan gained power over death when we yielded unto him. God told us not to eat of the fruit because in the day we'll eat thereof, we'll surely die. God didn't kill us. We killed ourselves by disobedience, by eating that tree. We're the ones that put death into motion. We're the ones that cause people to be born retarded and people to be sick and cause disease. It's the corruption that mankind started in this earth, of course, strengthened and helped by the devil through his lies and deception. But we're the ones that started this. God doesn't control when a person dies. God doesn't control who has tragedy. God is not the author of all of this stuff. If God is the one who's controlling everything, well, then he's made a mess of the world. I know some of you will take offense at that. Well, I take offense at you blaming God for every rotten thing. Amen. God is not the source of our problems. God is not causing all of this tragedy. We were given the authority to rule, and when we yielded to the devil, we became his hostage. And now, Satan, in a sense, had a gun to our head and saying, God, if you touch me for what I've done, for the way I tricked Adam and Eve, then you're going to have to kill them too, because they willingly. It says over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I believe it's verse 15, that the woman being deceived, she was deceived, but the man was not deceived in the transgression. Eve may have been fooled, but Adam had his eyes open. He saw Eve pass from life to death. He saw her die. He knew that what the serpent had been saying was wrong.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Believer's Authority. The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book R327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a five-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series RM234 or DVD series R3205 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I want to thank those of you who are partners with us and helping us to get the gospel truth out. You know, we now reach over 60 million homes in the U.S. and 160 million homes outside of the U.S., and I tell you, I'm excited. People's lives are being changed. But there's much more to do. And those of you who have benefited from this program and yet have never become a regular partner with us, I'd like to ask you to pray about doing so. There are millions and millions of people that we need to reach with this gospel truth, and we can't do it without you. So I ask you to pray about it. And then as God directs you, become a regular partner with Andrew Womack Ministries.